Welcome to the Sooners Extra Postgame Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Aber, here high above Gaylord Family, Oklahoma Memorial Stadium, or I guess high above Owen Field at Gaylord Family, Oklahoma Memorial Stadium, after OU's 76-0 blowout of Western Carolina, joined by columnist Jenny Carlson and beat writer Justin Martinez. And guys, we all expected a blowout today. Don't know that any of us expected it to be 76-0. Jenny, clearly Western Carolina was overmatched and OU was going to just take care of business regardless. But how much can you take away from this game as we move forward and start looking toward Nebraska next week?
Well, I think the way that Oklahoma dominated is important for, you know, forward building for this team. You know, obviously did not finish the game the way they wanted to a week ago against Tulane, and, you know, had some errors, you know, sort of across the board. And I think today the fact that we saw a pretty, you know, clean performance across the board, I think that was a good sign, you know, especially when you, like you said, Ryan, I mean, this was an outcome that we didn't doubt what would happen, how it would happen, I think was, you know, yet to be played out. But the fact that you didn't see a lot of, you know, mistakes, penalties, turnovers, miscues. I mean, I think that was positive. I think those are good things. You know, what does that mean moving forward? I mean, that's up for the Sooners to determine where they go from here. But, you know, to play a lesser opponent with a big rivalry on the horizon, I thought those were good positive signs for OU.
And Justin, who do you think this was most important to? Was it most important to OU's offense, OU's defense, any specific players? You know, who was this performance most important to tonight?
Yeah, there are a couple guys that come to mind. I think Eric Gray on the ground, I think he had a good performance after, you know, a pretty quiet OU debut in week one. You look at the defense also, they were able to get three turnovers, which, you know, that's something that they've really taken pride in, is trying to take or create turnovers. So them as a group, they can definitely build off of this. There's a lot of, I guess, positives to take out of this in a game like this. So, yeah, there's definitely some guys who hopefully can build off of this.
Yeah. Sorry, Jenny, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's going to be interesting, the offensive line, you know, what they learned today. I mean, I think there was, you know, obviously questions a week ago. We still, I still have questions about them and what that rotation, what that, you know, main lineup will look like moving forward, because I'm still not sure this is exactly what it will be in the heart of this, in this schedule. But, you know, it was today important. You know, again, sort of remains to be seen how they build off this, but that was a real question mark for me.
Yeah, interesting to see the offensive line there with the starters that we saw. We saw Robert Congell back at center. I think you know, some people expected to see Andrew Rame there after he missed most of last week's game after not having much time to prepare for the opener, as he was out a lot of game week. But Robert Congell played well against Tulane a week ago, so not entirely surprising to still see him there. Not quite sure that's going to be like a Wally Pipp situation where Andrew Rame's chance at starting disappears completely. I think certainly Andrew Rame's got a chance to earn his way back into the starting lineup, but it's something interesting to watch, especially if Congell keeps performing well. But on the offensive line, I thought to me the most interesting development tonight was getting a chance to see Wanye Morris out there. Played a little bit of tackle on both sides. I think he's a guy who has a chance to earn his way into that starting lineup. Now, where he plays is a bit of a question mark. Does he take over Eric Swenson's spot? We saw Swenson start tonight. Does he take over Tyrese Robinson? And what becomes of Anton Harrison? So I think certainly Bill Beedenbaugh has more than five that he feels comfortable playing, but generally he settles on five guys and pretty much rolls with them. And I think that time is probably coming here before too long, but certainly I thought took some steps in the right direction, especially as it comes to run blocking. Justin there mentioned Eric Gray, 9 carries, 74 yards, much better performance than we saw a week ago. Also had a 20-yard touchdown catch early in the game. I thought he looked a lot better, and they also got to show up some depth. And heck, we even saw Spencer Rattler with a nice little run. A 22-yard run, I think, when he needed 23 to score. A little bit careless there with the ball at the end, but was able to hold on to it and keep things alive for a touchdown a play later. Guys, though, as we start to look down the line, whether it's next week to Nebraska or beyond that, is there somebody who played a lot tonight who maybe we either didn't see in the opener or didn't see in a featured way in the opener who you think is going to have a big impact the rest of the season? I'll let you start this one, Justin.
Yeah, I think one guy that comes to mind is Jaden Hazelwood. Not the most triumphant return in a week one against Tulane, but I had 2 touchdowns in this one. You know, he was someone that the Spencer Rattler had said he was making it a point to get him more involved in this week, because they're going to need someone to step up and be sort of that second option behind Marvin Mims. You know, it's looking like it could be a competition between him. Mario Williams has been playing pretty well. But with Theo Weiss out, you're going to need someone else to also provide some production there. And solid outing for Hazelwood, able to get into the end zone twice today.
Yeah, it's funny. He had 4 catches on 5 targets, just 19 yards, though, combined, after having 4 for 47, no touchdowns. But hey, a lot of times it's just about being in the right place at the right time. And I thought that was big for Hazelwood, just confidence-wise, to get back in the end zone. It'd been a while for him, I think, really early in his freshman season. That game against South Dakota, I believe, was the last time that he'd scored a touchdown. What about you, Jenny? Who do you see that played a significant role tonight that maybe we see more here moving forward?
Yeah, you know, they were still rolling a lot of guys in defensively, in which, you know, I assume that rotation will tighten a little bit next week against Nebraska and maybe even more in coming weeks. But, you know, I think some of these younger guys in the linebacking group and the secondary are, you know, they're interesting. We saw Danny Stutzman go down with an injury, what we think looks like something shoulder or elbow. But he led the team in tackles tonight, had 8 tackles. You know, really productive night for him, obviously playing a lot in the second half with, you know, a largely reserve unit. But then you also saw who else was I looking at? Oh, Ethan Downs had a couple tackles and also had a forced fumble in the second half when he was in there. So it's interesting to sort of, you know, to think, how do those guys factor in? A guy like Shane Whittier, who Alex Grinch talked about in this week before this game, basically insinuating that he kind of needed to get himself in line both on and off the field. But, you know, he ends up with 3 tackles, which was second highest on the team tonight. Tackles were spread out pretty good. But those guys, I'm interested to see, can they continue to infuse those, you know, linebacker positions, those secondary spots with, you know, that action, that athleticism that we saw out of them in spurts tonight?
Yeah, I think both of those answers are good. You know, I'm going to go with Latrell McCutcheon, a guy that a freshman who we saw move into the starting lineup tonight for the first time. I asked Alex Grinch about this after the game, and he sort of called out their cornerbacks and said, hey, we're just looking for somebody who's going to give us something positive out there, and we haven't really gotten that, whether it's in practice or games. And if you're not going to get it out of your older guys, then why not give the younger guys a chance to sort of feel their way out and figure out their way to get to that point? And I think we saw that a little bit with Latrell McCutcheon. Didn't see much as far as numbers from him, just the 1 solo tackle there. But I think he's a guy whose role on this team has a chance to grow as this season goes on. He's a guy who came out really highly recruited out of Austin, Texas, and I think we're going to see more and more of him as the year goes on, especially if he's able to stay in the starting lineup. Jenny, Spencer Rattler struggled in the opener. Numbers weren't bad overall, except for just the 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions there. But today, very efficient, 20 of 26, 243 yards, 5 touchdowns. And by halftime, he's sitting over there wearing a baseball hat instead of a football helmet. Mentioned the run earlier. What did you make about Spencer Rattler's game and the progress we saw from him from last week to this?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this for today's Oklahoman, for Saturday's Oklahoman. The idea that, you know, it's really easy to think of Spencer Rattler as this finished product because he, you know, started every game for the Sooners last year. We saw him make such huge strides, especially late in the year. He comes into this year a Heisman Trophy contender, maybe even the front runner, depending on who you want to ask. It's easy to think, okay, he's who he's going to be. And the reality is he's still got stuff to learn. He's still got stuff to improve. And I think every game is an opportunity for him to continue to evolve. And yeah, I think it was just I mean, like you said, Ryan, I think the Tulane game wasn't necessarily a bad game, but you know, the standard being high, that standard he's set, a standard that's been set at Oklahoma, it wasn't to that standard. They needed even more from him. And, you know, today didn't test him in some of the ways that he'll be tested in coming games, as far as, you know, being captain, being a leader, those sorts of things, because, you know, they were playing such an overmatched opponent. But, you know, it's hard to find too many faults with a 5 touchdown day, only got sacked once, you know, just really felt like, you know, he was smooth. He didn't make mistakes. You know, like you said, he did have that, put the ball on the ground at one point there, but, you know, just really, and again, what I said earlier, I think applies to Spencer Rattler. When you're playing an opponent that, you know, you overmatch, and there's a great rivalry coming down the line, it's really easy to, you know, get distracted. And I don't think he was that way. And I think that's a good positive sign for him.
Justin, what do you think it means for Spencer Rattler moving forward to have the kind of performance that he did today? Is this going to be more typical of what we see from Spencer Rattler the rest of the way, you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know just how much of it is because of the opponent that they're facing, you know. But he did look a lot sharper. I felt like he didn't force as many throws. There were definitely some instances where he did that in the first game. He had that interception on the opening drive. He had a couple of just poor passes, and I thought he was a lot sharper in this one, a lot more composed. So we'll see if he's able to carry that over. You know, against some tougher competition, but that remains to be seen.
Do you guys think some of those throws that maybe were questionable? I'm not disagreeing that there were, but I think sometimes he makes some throws thinking, you know, I think I can get this in there. He's, you know, sort of got that competitiveness in him that I think a lot of quarterbacks do, and it's going to be interesting to see how that push and pull, how that give and take, you know, plays out this year. I don't know if that will get Spencer Rattler and the Sooners into trouble anytime soon. You know, obviously it was a lot closer than anyone expected against Tulane, but, you know, does it cost him a game at some point? I don't know. It's interesting though, how do you sort of ride that edge of the wanting to have him be believe in himself, believe in his guys, really think he can make any play at any time, but not push it over the edge. Tonight probably didn't test that, but it'll be interesting to see how does that look against Nebraska, against a team that I think it's going to be a pretty hyper competitive environment next week.
Yeah, Jenny, I'm right there with you on that. You know, I think there are times when he, I don't know, not necessarily tries to do too much, but certainly maybe thinks he can do some stuff that winds up being, you know, a little bit tougher than he anticipated. Certainly confidence is not lacking with Spencer Rattler, but it's about picking your points to do those things, picking your spots and not doing them in situations that are really going to cost you. And I think certainly it looked that way tonight. You know, not that Western Carolina is a great defensive group or certainly a great secondary to really test that. I think certainly that'll come over these next couple of weeks as the OU plays, you know, Nebraska and West Virginia and Kansas State. But certainly you feel better about it tonight than you did, you know, a week ago after a really uneven performance against Tulane. So OU did exactly what they should have done tonight, did what was expected of them, and certainly I think OU fans have to feel better about this team tonight than they did, 24 hours ago even. Jenny, looking forward to Nebraska, though. Clearly, this isn't the same, Cornhuskers program that built, one of the most storied rivalries in college football against Oklahoma over the years in the Big Eight and then early in the Big 12. But even then, a special week coming up with all the celebrations of the 1971 game. Both, the OU folks were going to be here from that game, the Nebraska folks that are going to be here from that game. Even though it was a Nebraska win, I think, a lot of people just respect the history of that game and that performance and what it was is at the time the game of the century and still one of the great games in college football history.
Yeah, I think if you're of a certain age, you just remember that Nebraska and Oklahoma played regularly for, high stakes, some of the highest stakes, whether that was Big Eight supremacy or a chance to play for a national championship. That was the standard for a lot of years. It was Barry Switzer and Tom Osborne and, Husker Red and Sooner Crimson. And I mean, it was just, that was such a standard, standard bearer in college football for decades. So, I mean, that 71 game will be honored. Obviously it's the reason why the game is happening this year here at OU, but it's a celebration of, a great rivalry that, goes beyond just that game. But yeah, it's definitely not, even when they announced the series was being renewed in 2012, it had only been a couple years earlier that OU and Nebraska had played in the Big 12 championship game as Nebraska's on their way out the door to the Big 10. But, now here we sit 9 years after the announcement in Nebraska, floundering. They've been through multiple athletic directors, multiple football coaches, still not anywhere close to what they were. I'm not talking about the glory days. I'm talking about like the, sort of down a few steps glory days. So it's
the Frank Solich days, yeah. When they, fired him because they thought they were going to take a back to the Tom Osborne days, and then they've been fighting just to get back to those the last few years.
They would take Frank Solich back, I think, in a heartbeat, a lot of Husker fans. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that we're not going to get that magnitude of game, but it will definitely be something cool to see these two teams, back on the field again. Lots of players and coaches from that game in 71 will be here. Lots of history, the black and white images and, the turf field, the AstroTurf field. That's all going to be great fun to see that all resurrected as we get closer to the game next Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Justin, Jenny brought up to Lincoln Riley and Alex Grinch after the game where they were in 2012 when this game was announced. Lincoln Riley was at East Carolina. Alex Grinch, I believe, was at Missouri. What grade were you in 2012?
So 2012 was my junior year of high school.
Ah, crap.
Yeah.
Jenny, I knew I was going to make both of us feel old by asking that, but when you brought up the year specifically, I had to bring that up.
Yeah. I think I figured out that I think Caleb Kelly would have been probably in his teen years in 2012 when they announced this series was coming back, but pretty much every other
Caleb
Sooner.
Kelly, wasn't he on the OU roster in 2012?
I think it was just, I think he had just was just about to join. Yeah. But yeah, obviously most of these guys in elementary school when this rivalry was announced, and the last time it was played, definitely had a majority of the team, maybe not even playing football yet. A lot of them.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that this game hasn't been played since, what was it? The 2010 Big 12 championship game, Jenny, that was the last one.
Yep. Correct.
So it's going to be an interesting week. Certainly, Nebraska now isn't what Nebraska, has been for much of their existence. But it'll be interesting seeing Scott Frost's team. And Scott Frost, who was a Sooners killer during his OU career, just had two monster blowouts against the Sooners, on the positive side for the Cornhuskers. But certainly as a coach has struggled, Nebraska got themselves a win today against Buffalo to move to 2-1. But certainly OU presents a different kind of animal than anything that the Cornhuskers have faced to this point this year, against Illinois, against Fordham last week, and then against Buffalo today as they win 28-3. So it'll be interesting to see, how that game turns out, and find out a little bit more, I think, of how much tonight's game means in the big scheme of things. I think, as we move forward into next week and beyond, I think those will be lessons that we can't really set in stone tonight, but certainly in hindsight, we'll be able to take a better look at those. But anyway, we're going to wrap it up here at Giller Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. Thank you so much for joining us on the Sooners Extra Podcast. We'll be back next week after OU's game against Nebraska. That'll be an 11 a.m. kickoff on Fox. Until then, you can check our work out every day at oklahoman.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere.